More at jonesday.com.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Today we're going to talk with a group of King High School students who are trying to raise money for computers. I think you'd be surprised at how old the computers they have at the high school. We'll talk about that in the first part of the program today. And then later on, we'll listen into what former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani said last night on CNN about that whistleblower controversy in Washington, D.C. Well, I'm Rob Loray. Thanks for listening. By the way, this program is going to be on the WMNF News Facebook page. We'll have a video of it up there for you, and you can see it by going to WMNF News Facebook. And Blanny Whalen is our videographer today. I want to introduce Aryan Sharma and Arpan Bagui, who are both students in high school at King High School in Tampa. And Arpan and Aryan, welcome to WMNF. Nice to see you.
Nice to have us on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. King High School is a public school. Let's start there. It's a public school. It's in East Tampa. Tell us a little bit more about the profile of King High School.
Oh, so King High School is an IB school, so it's International Baccalaureate, and it's also has a traditional section where people from the neighborhood go to, so you have an interesting dynamic here. You have all students from all different arrays and socioeconomic classes, and it's been like really fun to meet all these different kids and meet the different types of people who are here, but it also has a diverse set of problems when you have students who are very economically challenged, as well as students who come from better backgrounds, and I think it does create a little of a situation where those who do come from better backgrounds have a reason to give back and help their school, as well as the students who need some of that help who are more economically challenged. And that's kind of what me and Aryan use as our inspiration for the project that we're doing.
Okay, so you both are in the IB program.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
How many students are in the IB program, the International Baccalaureate program?
So our senior class is a little over 100, and most classes start at around 120, but, you know, with the rigor of the program, it, filters out to around 100. The normal class, the non-IB class, is a bit larger at around 200.
Mm-hmm. Getting in the IB program is almost a ticket to getting into an Ivy League school, right? Almost.
You guys are
seniors. Have you gotten into your Ivy League school yet?
No. Applications are actually on the horizon, so that's something that's coming. No, but of course, IB is known all around the world for having a rigorous program, and obviously it's a useful thing, and it does help for a college for sure, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So, Arpan, you said that you want to give back to the school. One of the things that you want to give back is that you have a computer problem there at King High School in East Tampa. So what is a computer problem?
So we have a limited amount of computers, and computers that are just too old to be running the kinds of programs we need them to. And obviously, as we shift into more technologically orientated classrooms, technologically orientated testing, we need computers to be as updated as possible. So not only are the learning resources available for all the students, but just the platforms we use to test. And when our computers are crashing because they're 10 years old, when they can't handle the kinds of programs we need to run digital tests and different kinds of experiments on that, it proves that really students aren't getting the same opportunity as other students across the community. And if we know that some students don't necessarily have computer access, even at their homes, considering the area our school is in, we really should make sure that our school at least can be that haven where we have technology, where we have education, because education is so important. We need to make sure that it's at its high standard.
All right, so people listening at home are going to say, wait a minute, you're in Hillsborough County. They just raised taxes for Hillsborough County. How come you guys don't have modern, up-to-date computers there at King High School?
So, like, the thing is you're right. There was a recent tax increase, but the problem what's been happening has been appropriation of the funds. So one of the challenges that King has is that since it's in a low-income area generally, its priority on the list has been less. So schools that are in more high-income areas are more likely to get these funds for projects that they need it for. And King, unfortunately, doesn't have that luxury. So what this is something we've been thinking about too. It would be nice if the state or the district, for example, provided funds for something like this. But quite frankly, it's not a reality, and it is challenging to do. So this is something where me and Arpan thought, like, this is where we would have to fill in that gap where the district and the state aren't able to provide. Maybe this is something that we could, you know, provide.
So. All right. So you're trying to find some ways to raise money for up-to-date computers.
Sure.
You can't even get the Windows 10 though.
So the thing is we can get Windows 10 on our computers, and just to emphasize the importance of it, all the modern testing programs require Windows 10 to run. And the thing is, our computers can run Windows 10, but it's pushing the limits of the hardware. So it's like, to think about it, a newer computer would be able to run Windows 10 more gracefully. And since these computers are so old, there's a lot of challenges that come up. So I'll give a few an anecdotal example. So Arpan and I can probably contest to this, is that when we were taking tests, what will happen is sometimes the computers will crash because the hardware will get overloaded or something. And this happens all the time. And, you know, this is a real problem, especially in a testing environment when there's, like, you know, there's a time limit and such. And this problem would be averted if we had better hardware, which is what we're aiming for with new computers.
Okay. When the computers crash while somebody's taking a test, is there ever a problem where the student's not able to finish the test on time?
Yes, of course. Yes. So accommodations are made when they can be made, but ultimately these tests are coming from, you know, the federal level. So we can't always give those accommodations. And even when we can make those accommodations, that really shouldn't be our solution. We really shouldn't have a situation where we're trying to compromise and make sure that students are taking two different testing blocks so that they can get the whole time just because our computers are not up to date.
Well, we're talking with two King High School students. King is in East Tampa. It serves the Sulphur Springs neighborhood and the Temple Terrace neighborhood, and it's a real mixed community. And our guests, Arpan and Aryan, are trying to raise money for new computers at their school. I think it's a great project. So, okay, so what's the plan? How many computers do you want to raise, and how are you trying to raise money?
All right, so I'll go over the logistics for a little bit. So as of right now, we're aiming for 50 computers, and we're going to aim a little bit on the higher side. So we have existing desktops, obviously, but one thing that we want to definitely incorporate is laptops in our computer lab. And there's a lot of utility to this. Now, they are more expensive than desktops, but the utility added is that, for example, laptops are portable. So I know a lot of schools have this kind of a program, and this would be very useful for somewhere like King, where a lot of students don't have access to technology, but they're like loan-out programs. So if a student, for example, needs a laptop to take home, there could be a system set up where they can borrow a laptop from the school or something, which would just not be possible with traditional desktops. So So the plan is to try to get laptops. I mean, obviously, if we don't get enough funds for that, we're obviously okay with getting better desktops. They are better than what we have now. So there's two routes we're taking about this. I'll let Arpan explain the second part, but I'll go for the first part. And this is the one that we've been kind of, this is the part where, you know, where we're coming to the radio show for. And that has to do with raising funds. So we set up a GoFundMe, which we can link at the end or something.
Yeah, we can put a link on our website, yeah.
Sure. So we set up a GoFundMe, and the purpose of the GoFundMe is to raise money to just straight up buy these computers. So like, we can probably get 2 to 3 year old refurbished laptops from manufacturers like Dell and HP. So we put on our GoFundMe the goal of $25,000. It is an ambitious goal for sure. But the price really came after we looked at some of the manufacturers of these computers like Dell and HP, and we took rough estimates and multiplied by 50, obviously. So that's the first plan. And the second plan, Arpan will explain now, has more to do what we've been doing on the side.
Right. So, yeah, just to clarify, so there are two routes. One is the GoFundMe. It's called King High School Fundraiser for anyone who's interested. But the second option that we're doing, and it's something that we can also use a lot of help for, is actually contacting computer businesses and different businesses that deal with computers. An issue is a lot of these offices, they have a lot of computers, but by policy, they're supposed to replace those computers every 3 years so everything's as updated as possible. Now, these three-year-old computers, which might not be satisfactory for them, are more than satisfactory for us. So that's exactly the kind of donation we can use, and it's a good way to make sure that we're using the computers that are already in our community for a better cause. So if you guys know anyone who might have a relationship to an office or knows when one of these, do-overs for the computers are going to occur, definitely let us know, because those computers can be used to help many, many students. And that's something me and Aryan have, of course, been working on the side to get those donations.
And also, just to add to that, so I just want to talk about what progress we've done. So we've definitely got a positive reception for the most part for these companies. So a few companies we've talked to right now is PwC, DTCC, and Citibank. We've talked to a few more, but we've got a positive reception. A lot of the people we've talked to like the idea, because what ends up happening with these old computers that are recycled out is that they're usually torn down for parts, or they're just sold for very cheap. So a lot of these companies like the idea that we're giving back to the community with these things which aren't necessarily beneficial to them. And as for contact, to let us know more, you can contact us at our email. So my email is aryan_sharma@yahoo.com. And the way you spell Aryan is A-A-R-Y-A-N. Again, A-A-R-Y-A-N. And Sharma is S-H-A-R-M-A. And on our GoFundMe page, there's a way to contact us too there. So if that's just more simple, we can obviously.
And is that at Gmail?
At Yahoo, sorry.
Yahoo, okay, at yahoo.com. So you want our listeners to kind of jump in, either if they work at a company and they know their computers are being replaced, or if they know of a company where their computers are being replaced, especially laptops, or if they've got cash, if they've got $25,000 or a portion of that.
Every donation helps, obviously. Just $5-6, anything really, toward the GoFundMe thing. It's for a good cause. So, if you have time and you have a little bit of cash.
Okay, so what's the address again on GoFundMe? Where can they look for it?
Right, so it's a site called GoFundMe.org or .com, and our specific GoFundMe is called King High School Fundraiser, and it's for the computers, but that's the name of it. You can search it into your GoFundMe tab and you'll find it, and I'm sure you can provide a link.
So everybody would get to use these computers too, the students in the IB program and the students who are not in the IB program.
Yep, they'll help our whole school.
Okay, well, it sounds like a great thing. Does your principal know you're here and know you're talking about this on the air?
We would like to think so. No. We did talk to her. Yeah. She's good with us doing this project.
Okay, we just wanted to clear that up. So, again, you're trying to raise $25,000. You're looking for about 50 computers. The computers are 10 years old at King High School. That's outrageous.
It is. Okay. And I do want to make another point. And this is not this problem is not unique to King.
Right.
The issue is that this is something that plagues public schools all across this country, and it's that technology is important in our day and era. A lot of our programs have changed, and obviously technology provides more resources for students to use. And it's not something that's unique to King in the sense that a lot of other schools have computers that need to be renovated. So a long-term solution is one that we want to pursue, is if we can somehow set up a middleman service between these companies and these schools that need it. So if there is a way to essentially set up a distribution service between them, this would be able to solve the problem on a larger scale. Obviously, this GoFundMe will definitely solve the problem we have here, but the macro goal here is to try to maybe set up something like that.
And the other question I have is the digital divide. I mean, some homes don't have many computers, access to many computers, if at all. So there's some homes out there that have no computers at all. So the beauty of this is that if you are able to get laptops and some of the kids are able to take them home and use their computer at home, that helps the whole family.
Right, exactly. These laptops could be used for so many good purposes at home. And I think even the computers that go to the school are, our schools should be havens for education where everything's up to standard, where students can know that they have the quality of education that, all students deserve. So not only will the laptops help at their home, but students will feel a lot better and will learn a lot better when they know that the school they go to is meeting all the standards and has the equipment necessary for them to learn the things they need to learn.
And to add on to that, other than, you know, you might think, okay, what do we need, in, at least at the school, at the media center or school, what do we use the computers for other than testing? For a lot of students, it's actually kind of the lifeblood of the school itself. And the thing is, you know, me and Arpan are lucky that, you know, we have access to internet and to computers at home, but a lot of students don't in the area. So what ends up happening is a lot of these online assignments in the morning or in the afternoon or lunchtime, a lot of students will go to the media center to finish these tasks and to, you know, do homework there. And the thing is, it's becoming so bad, actually, to the point where teachers now, instead of going to the media center to actually do activities, they just ask us to bring out our phones or bring out our own laptops, which to the students who have them works. But how about the kids who don't? And that's the real purpose of it. For it to be a public good, it should be available for everyone's use.
Exactly.
And that goes to the digital divide. So again, Arian, if people want to email you, how can they email you if they've got ideas about money or computers? How can they do that?
Sure. So my email is Arian, Arian_SHARMA@yahoo.com. But also, if you don't remember that, our GoFundMe page, there's a way to contact us there. So like, there's a small tab that you can contact us. And you can repeat our GoFundMe again.
Yeah, it's just King High School Fundraiser. And GoFundMe is a big, you know, money collecting institution. So if you just type that in, you'll find it.
Yes.
Well, Arpan Bhagwi, thank you very much. Nice to see you. And Arian Sharma, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
You were on a few years ago, and nice to see you again.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you, too.
Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. This interview is going to be on the WMNF News website, and also we'll post the information about the GoFundMe page and also about Arian's email address if you want to help out. It's for a good cause. And this could be the start of something really big, a national program to direct formerly used computers in businesses to schools that need them across the country.
Yes, that's the goal.
Again, yeah, I just want to say one thing, like, you know, and this goes out to the community. If we can make it a success here, if we can show that it works here, that's just going to be a good example for so many more people to follow in our footsteps, and it'll really create a better educational environment. Yeah, Arian.
Yeah. Arpan's exactly right. It's like, if we can show it works on a microcosm level, it can definitely work in communities all across the country. And again, the GoFundMe is a kind of a short-term solution, which it'll fix the problem that we have here at King. But to be realistic, it's not realistic to set up a GoFundMe for every single school and, you know, expect to meet the donation amount. A really sustainable solution would be if we had a system where every 3 to 4 years, these computers that are being cycled out of these corporations actually end up in our schools. And this would be a situation that's beneficial for both sides. And the companies are on board with it too, for the ones we've talked to. It's just, you know, for working at the bureaucracy.
I'm so glad you guys thought of this idea. Hey, thanks for coming by MNF.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Arpan and Arian, you're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about what Rudy Giuliani said last night on CNN. Music from Oliver Mitikudzi here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori, and we're going to talk about some of the other issues in the news. Around the world, people are marking today, which has been called a climate strike day. Hundreds of thousands of protesters in Australia, many of them children who skipped school, kicked off a day of demonstrations around the world. They're protesting climate change. There were rallies to open the global climate strike taking place not just in Australia, but also in the Philippines, in Hong Kong, in India. Rallies were planned in Africa, Europe, and planned today in the United States. 800 events are expected across the U.S. today. In Germany, there were 500 cities where protests were planned today to mark the International Day, the Climate Strike Day. I mentioned Africa, Kenya, Kenya's capital, Nairobi, Johannesburg in South Africa, all sites of protest. And here in the Tampa Bay area, there's going to be two events, one at 11:30 this morning in just a few minutes in St. Petersburg. And earlier today, I spoke with Tim Martin with the Sierra Club, one of the organizers of the St. Pete climate strike.
We're expecting hundreds, maybe even up to 1,000 people today. And it's part of a global series of events. We think over 2,500 total around the world calling for action to be taken on climate issues. Globally, the event is being billed as a climate strike, but locally in St. Petersburg, we're actually having a march. We're starting at City Hall in downtown St. Pete, and we'll be marching about a mile and a half to Williams Park. We have a glimmer of hope that's recently emerged from 16-year-old Greta Thunberg. She's basically stood up and become a global champion to all of us, around the world. She's inspiring people to take action where governments are not. She's basically been calling for climate strikes everywhere before next week's UN climate summit. And so our action locally, and we also have an action in Tampa, are just really basically meant to be done in support and in solidarity with the other actions happening all around the world.
And there is an action in Tampa this afternoon at 5 p.m. The president is responding to the calls for action on global warming. The president put out a press release just about an hour ago talking about the Democrats, and the headline on it is Democrats aim to destroy America's economy. And keep in mind that the climate strike is not just by Democrats. I'm sure there's Democrats in the crowd, but I think there's a lot of other people too. The president says 2020 Democrats promised to eliminate the use of all oil, coal, and natural gas, which he says would destroy over 10 million jobs that are directly and indirectly supported by those industries. So the president putting out a press release saying that if we do something about the climate, that the Democrats and other people that do things about the climate will destroy 10 million jobs in the U.S. I think that's got to be fact-checked. In other news, and we can talk about any of these issues, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. The Tampa Bay Times is reporting that there's a third lawsuit in 3 months that's been filed against the Church of Scientology and its leader, David Miscavige. In this latest lawsuit, a 25-year-old woman alleges she was repeatedly sexually assaulted as a child in Scientology's care, including at the church's Clearwater Academy. The lawsuit claims church officials allegedly knew it was occurring and did nothing to stop it or alert law enforcement, and that the alleged cover-up was rooted in policies written originally by Scientology's founder, L. Ron Hubbard. The suit was filed this week in Miami-Dade Circuit Court, claiming Scientology operatives cut the brake lines on the woman's car, vandalized her property, followed and surveilled her, and harassed her with hundreds of spam calls. The woman is referred to in the complaint only as Jane Doe, for fear of more retaliation by the church, her attorneys say. A Los Angeles attorney for the Church of Scientology issued a statement dismissing the claims as false and vile. Well, the Trump administration has plunged into a showdown with Congress over access to a whistleblower's reported complaint about a private conversation between President Trump and a foreign leader. The government's intelligence watchdog says the blocked complaint is serious and urgent. The administration is keeping Congress from even learning what exactly the whistleblower is alleging. Here's a report from the Associated Press.
It begins with a whistleblower complaint filed in August about reported incidents involving President Trump and a foreign leader. The Washington Post is reporting at least part of the complaint involves Ukraine and a promise that President Trump made. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community labeled the complaint
serious or flagrant abuse, violation of law, or other misconduct.
But when Michael Atkinson appeared before the committee yesterday, he said he was under administration orders
not to share the complaint with Congress.
The Inspector General and the new Acting Director of National Intelligence have been summoned to appear next week before additional congressional panels. Meanwhile, President Trump denies saying anything inappropriate with a foreign leader. Well, Jackie Quinn, Washington.
That report aired this morning on the Associated Press. Now, Rudy Giuliani, who's the president's attorney, was on CNN last night and talking on CNN about this. And the interview got kind of heated, so we're going to listen to that right now, right here on 88.5 FM. And if you've got a comment about this, you can call us up at 813-239-9663.
To ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed,
right,
dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
All right, that was part of what Rudy Giuliani said last night. Let's listen to a longer version of that exchange last night on CNN. And our phone number is 813-239-9663.
David, that was given to the American authorities and an FBI agent named Greenwood, and they found him guilty of that. Nobody reports that in the United States,
Rudy,
because you don't report things that are favorable to the president,
Rudy, well,
and negative
true.
For Democrats.
But Rudy,
let me go further about finding.
Let's go step by step, because forget about the fact that you said what I said was erroneous.
I didn't say any of the things you're saying now.
I don't even know if they're true.
Well, then why did you say I was doing it for political purposes?
I didn't say political purposes. I said you were going after political opponents of Mr. Trump. That's what Joe Biden is. That's what Hillary Clinton is.
Joe Biden is presumed innocent, but somebody's got to investigate him for going to the president of the Ukraine and telling him.
That's fine. You just want to make sure that you're not going there under color of authority of the president. But let me ask you something else.
Not because of the authority of the president, because when the new prosecutor that Joe put in came in, he not only dismissed the case on Hunter Biden, forgetting about $6 million in laundered money from
the prosecutor that was removed, which was the original intrigue on Joe Biden. That prosecutor was removed, first of all, by consensus of a multiple of Western countries, and it was after Hunter Biden stuff was done. But yeah, look, you should have your hand on your face. You know why? This is all a distraction from what I asked you for.
No, it isn't a distraction,
Chris.
What you just said is totally wrong.
It is totally correct and in the factual timeline. The prosecutor
was out. I know what happened.
How do you know?
You're just repeating spin. The prosecutor.
But you don't, right? You're not spinning anything. Go ahead.
I'm not spinning a damn thing.
Okay.
I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
The prosecutor was removed because he was investigating the Sun, and he was investigating Soros' charity, or whatever the hell it was, Antac. The new prosecutor that came in dismissed both cases. And
the prosecutor who was pushed out was unanimously seen as corrupt.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't unanimously seen as corrupt. That's an after-the-fact statement. The prosecutor...
What do you mean after-the-fact statement? Was he seen as corrupt or no?
You go look at Joe Biden, who probably is working with half the IQ that you and I have. If you listen to Joe Biden's tape, he convicts himself. He says, I told the president of the Ukraine, if you don't dismiss this guy, you're not going to get your $1.2 billion.
Biden said to the Ukraine. Did you ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed,
right,
dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't ask him to look into Joe Biden. I asked him to look into the allegations that related to my client, which tangentially involved Joe Biden in a massive bribery scheme.
Rudy.
Not unlike
Rudy.
What he did in China.
Rudy.
You explain to me how the kid got $1.5 billion
from China. I have no problem with you launching allegations. But just be careful about what you say. I asked you, did you ask Ukraine to look at Joe Biden? You said no. Then you went on to say that you did.
No, I didn't say that. What I said was this. I asked them to investigate the allegations that relate to the false charges against the president.
Let me finish, Chris.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
And don't try to interrupt because you don't like the answer.
I don't like evasiveness. And you want to distort what I'm saying. I don't want to distort.
You're totally biased.
I'm not biased.
You are,
Chris.
Why would I have you on if I were biased, knowing that we're going to have this kind of conversation? Because it is sad to watch what happened to you. It's sad.
Sad to watch what happened to me. I'm a sellout.
You are a sellout.
You are telling me that I'm a sellout.
These are crimes of major proportions. And because they're Democrats, you won't cover it. A $1.5 million investment by China in Biden's private equity fund and the partners
are Kerry's son. I'm not saying that these types of things shouldn't be looked at.
Whitey Bulger's nephew. Do you know that they were partners with Whitey Bulger's nephew?
I'm not saying that
That's outrageous.
That you're saying shouldn't be looked at.
And your corrupt media won't cover it because he's a Democrat.
Rudy, I can't just cover something because you say I should. All right? That's
no,
not the way it works.
You don't have to say
but
I should.
I got to tell you.
Read
you,
the book.
You, who my whole lifetime stood up for one simple ideal when you were at your best, which was character counts and leadership.
And you are standing up for two systems of justice.
Oh, I'm standing up for two systems of justice.
Can be involved in bribery. Joe Biden's son can get $1.5 billion from to cover it. And you want to cover some ridiculous charge that I urge the Ukrainian government to investigate corruption. Well, I did, and I'm proud of it.
Well, then, it's not a ridiculous allegation. You
it's
just
a ridiculous
it.
Allegation.
You just
it's
admitted it.
It's a ridiculous
it.
Allegation.
Rudy,
of course,
you just
of course,
admitted
course
that you did
I
it.
Should. Of course, I should.
I'm not saying it was wrong for you to do it. I'm asking
it
you if you asked them, and
it.
Now you're finally
and
saying
I am
yes.
Glad that
did
the
president
way,
ask the president
way,
of Ukraine to do the same thing?
I knew this a year ago. The only way this would come out is if you come after me. Well,
I'm
fine.
Not coming after
come
you.
After
I'm
me.
Asking you questions, okay?
And
I'm
asking
you
questions. Like the answers.
That's well, some letting you give
well,
me
you
answer.
Don't like the answers because the answers make out a prima facie of bribery against the
well,
vice of the United States.
Your suggestions about it, and that's fine. I'm
no,
not saying
Chris,
that it doesn't.
All right, so that was a part of Rudy Giuliani on CNN last night with Chris Cuomo talking about this explosive story in Washington, D.C. about a whistleblower who's being blocked from telling Congress why he blew the whistle on President Trump. And you heard Cuomo and Giuliani go back and forth, but at issue is the question of whether or not President Trump had a conversation with the leader of Ukraine and whether or not the president offered something to the leader of Ukraine in exchange for the leader of Ukraine investigating possible wrongdoing by Joe Biden's son. That seems to be the bottom line on this. So we could talk about that. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Giuliani there seemed to have some a lot of thoughts about Joe Biden and his son and possible wrongdoing by them. We'll have to see what the fact checkers say about that conversation. I'm sure that the fact checkers at PolitiFact and the Washington Post are going to be writing about that for the next couple of days to see whether or not anything that Giuliani said in there was true or whether it was false. But again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And we can talk, what's your take on Giuliani and whether or not he's being honest or direct? Or did Chris Cuomo catch him in a lie last night? 813-239-9663. Well, sometime today, President Trump will hear a broad range of military options from the Pentagon as he considers how to respond to the recent attack on Saudi oil facilities. Now, Saudi Arabia and some people in the Trump administration are blaming Iran for that. There is an investigation going on by the UN to see whether or not there's evidence that Iran was involved. Iran is denying responsibility for that attack. But here's another report, this time from the Associated Press.
The U.S. is weighing a response to Iran for the strike on Saudi Arabia's oil industry. Iran's foreign minister says a U.S. or Saudi Arabian attack on Iran would set off an all-out war. In Abu Dhabi, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says diplomacy is the way to work this out.
While the foreign minister of Iran is threatening all-out war and to fight to the last American, we're here to build out a coalition aimed at achieving peace.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says Iran can't get away with this.
Restoring deterrence is going to require a military response that will create some amount of pain so they'd be less likely to do this again. And to me, it's not an all-out war scenario unless Iran wants it to be.
Iran's foreign minister says they will have a lot of casualties, but they won't blink to defend their country. Ed Donahue, Washington.
All right, so that discussion is taking place at the White House today. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. You can also email your comments into the studio at dj@wmnf.org. There's another bit of sound I want to play, but let's take a few phone calls for a moment. We're going to go to Dave, who's in Tampa. Dave, what would you like to comment about?
Well, good morning, Rob. I thought that interview might be the single worst interview I've ever heard in my life. I mean, that was god-awful. I mean, what more like a food fight? You know, Rudy Giuliani's kind of the lawyerly version of a clown car. I don't understand why they even bother with somebody. Does he even hold official title? I don't even think he's a government official, is he?
He's a personal attorney to President Trump. I don't know how he's paid, but he's acting as one of the president's personal attorneys.
Yeah, well, what you have here is apparently the president with the attorney general acting as his right hand, obstructing a serious whistleblower complaint. I don't really care what Rudy Giuliani has to say. I don't understand, first of all, why the press doesn't get a little more serious in who they interview, and secondly, why Congress hasn't gotten way more muscular about this and started. You know, that guy Lewandowski, he should have been in the cell in the basement of the Capitol that day. Inherent contempt. I don't think I've ever seen it before, but that has to be it.
So you think the Democrats are really not standing up and doing a proper investigation into either one of these things, whether it was Lewandowski or
I really don't. I can't understand it. It's kind of perplexing why they aren't just absolutely on the warpath. They look kind of weak and feckless, frankly. Right now.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thanks. All right, so you got Dave's opinion there. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. I was listening to that conversation. It looks like Cuomo caught him, Giuliani, in a lot of lies. And repeatedly, you know, he even said, you could hear Giuliani said that the investigation was ridiculous. But if you go back and you know the history of Giuliani when he attacked the Dapper Don, when he attacked John Gotti, and he attacked the mafia, and he became famous over that. And the way he became famous was the dirty deal that he cut with Sammy Gravano. I mean, Sammy Gravano must have killed, you know, maybe over 100 people, murdered. I mean, they had documentation of it all, and the government, FBI, and Giuliani, they cut deals with that guy to take down the mafia. So are you going to believe anything that Giuliani's got to say? I mean, it's just a big smokescreen for the president, a distraction. So it's a joke.
All right.
It's a joke to do with our president.
All right, Richard, thanks a lot. Thank you. And our phone number, 813-239-9663. I think the Giuliani was put on there to defend the president by the Trump administration last night. Do you think that, you know, Richard talked about Giuliani's days as a prosecutor. I think in New York, he was pretty widely loved for a while across the political spectrum, not by every Democrat, but he did certainly have enough support as a Republican to win election a couple of times in New York and was fairly well respected. Do you think that the Giuliani of today is the same guy of 20 or 30 years ago? If you've lived in New York, what are your thoughts? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Ron in Tampa. Ron, you're on. What's on your mind today?
Rob, first of all, I just want to say that although I've never lived in New York, I remember in my own way Giuliani being, well, you know, I don't want to give him too much credit, especially the way he is today, but he seemed to be a more reasonable, thoughtful person. I mean, he is not the same, in my opinion. I'm glad you played the interview again. Kudos to NNF because I didn't hear it when it came on. But I'm listening to this, and it's like the WWF without a ring announcer. You know, I'm not taking up for Chris Cuomo as being the best guy out there in the history of journalism. But at the same time, I respect him for trying to maintain some semblance of order. And Giuliani seemed to be a prime example of that mantra of showing hubris and the good old offense is the best defense. In my opinion, he was walking all over Chris Cuomo. Not that Chris was letting him, per se. He was trying to maintain some order. But the whole thing, like one of your other callers said, it was like a, you know, a clown car kind of thing. And it's unfortunate because I don't think Giuliani did himself credit by taking that hyper-aggressive position on this issue. And in my opinion, Chris Cuomo did catch him in a lie because he asked him, okay, are you investigating Biden? And I heard it too. Giuliani said, of course I am. So I think Chris did the right thing by going back and saying, look, I just asked you, you said no. I asked you again, and you said yes. So which is it? And in my opinion, Giuliani was stumbling all over himself. So he's become another one of these paid shills for Trump and has taken on this new mantra of let's just get out there and beat our opponents to death verbally. And that makes us right by just asserting ourselves to the up to the degree. And it's really unfortunate because I was never a big fan of Giuliani, but at least I used to listen to him. Now he's rambling on. And with respect to Joe Biden, he's making Joe Biden look like a Mensa candidate, the way he's handling these interviews. That's not admirable, in my opinion.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Thanks. Let's listen to a couple of the moments where it seemed that Giuliani was contradicting himself in last night's interview with Chris Cuomo.
It begins with a whistleblower.
Oh, let's see if we can get the right one up. Here is Rudy Giuliani last night on CNN.
To ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden.
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed,
right,
dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
All right, so there's Rudy Giuliani when asked at first whether or not he asked Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden or Joe Biden's son. He said no, and then seconds later he said yes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And let's go to Dave in Tampa, another Dave. You're on the air, Dave. What would you like to say?
Thanks so much for taking my call. No, my general comments on this is, you know, stuff that was said, I know it's very important, but given what we've been through with Trump and we know how he is, I don't think it's even worth a lot of this media coverage. Respectfully, on the other front is the Iran, the bombing of Saudi Arabia. I saw some videos. They're horrible. It was a horrible attack. We're about to get into another protracted war in the Middle East. I think this is going to be like Syria, like Iraq, hundreds of thousands of people dead, millions of people displaced. I think that's what we should be talking about. I don't understand why our country has this horrible blockade on Iran. I think that it is Israel's influence, billion-dollar donors like Sheldon Adelson, pushing all of this, the whole Netanyahu, everything that's been going on with the Palestinians, the killings of them this year. I think these are the things that we should talk about where hundreds of thousands of lives are at stake. Thanks so much.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I dare say, I don't think any other radio station in the entire state of Florida has talked as much about Iran as WMNF has. So it's not like we're new to the topic. But Dave, thanks a lot. I do think the possible war with Iran is a huge issue, and you can bet this radio station will pay attention to it, I promise. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Adam somewhere in Florida. Adam, where are you? Adam? Okay, Adam just dropped off. Let's go to Terry in Tampa. Terry, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and the audience. We shall not engage in a George Orwell type of banter, the doublespeak that some refer to in these times. I'll speak with you directly. Right now, the country is poised to engage in a military conflict with another country. And the way I see it is, why are we going to change Saudi Arabia's diaper? Why doesn't Saudi Arabia use those Saudi pilots that I've seen on military bases? I'm a military veteran, and I've seen Saudi pilots on our bases training with our pilots. Why don't they go over there and do whatever it is that they say that needs to be done, and we'll back them up from across the street? you know, as they say. But all the military people that's out there, and I have plenty of military relatives, we should be horrified the way this thing is descending into a hot war where there doesn't need to be one, Rob. And what Giuliani is doing, that animal farm tactic, you know, that's just, you know, part of the small thing that's keeping you distracted from we're about to go to war because some other country got, you know, insulted. So is it our job to go and go to war because Saudi Arabia got insulted? No. Saudi Arabia needs to go and fight with the Hutus who said that they did it. Go and fight them. They called you out. They said they want some. Go give them some. Let us stay out of it. And I thank you very much for the opportunity and keep your wonderful program going.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Tulsi Gabbard, I think, yesterday was on Fox News and said that the U.S. should not be doing the bidding of Saudi Arabia. Terry makes an interesting point. If there is hostility between Iran and Saudi Arabia, we don't know for sure whether or not Iran carried out that oil facility attack the other day. But if there is hostility between Saudi Arabia and Iran, do you think that the U.S. needs to be involved? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Or should the U.S. Fight to protect Saudi Arabia as it's done before? And was that a good choice when we did that in 1990? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. First of all, I'd just like to point out that I would be for any investigation into Hunter Biden if there seems to be any sort of impropriety. I think you should get to the bottom of these things if there's allegations out there. And I find that interesting that I've heard a lot of that on people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, that there should be this investigation. But when members of Trump's inner circle and part of his and his campaign people meet with Russian people, there's nothing to see here. Let's just ignore that. We shouldn't investigate that. So I find that a little hypocritical on their end that they're for one investigation, but not for the other. I'm for both. Investigating the investigators, if there seems to be some sort of impropriety to the investigation of the Russian collusion, then investigate those if there seems to be something wrong with that investigation. And let's get to the bottom of this. The other thing, too, I was listening to Rush, and he was going on about how Obama, remember when he said, I'll have more flexibility after the election? That was caught on a hot mic. He was equating that to the same thing as Trump saying, giving that information up on the Russian or the Israeli operation to the Russians in the new Oval Office. I just don't get that. It's like those are not the same thing.
The problem is we don't know what was said, what the president said, and whether it did involve Ukraine, although
I'm not talking about the phone call. I'm talking about when he had the meeting where he in the Oval Office with the Russians and he kicked everybody out.
Oh, and so Russia's still talking about that months later.
He's saying that what Obama said on the hot mic, that I'll have more flexibility after the election. Is that the same thing as giving up a state secret to a Russian person? And I'm just laughing so hard at Rush Limbaugh because he's so intellectually dishonest with his audience on that. I can even give you another example. He was going on about the blackface with the brownface with Trudeau, and he just totally didn't even mention that the fact that he was dressing. He kept saying it was blackface. This brownface, the media's lying. It wasn't brownface. It was blackface. And how are the differences between the Virginia governor or whoever was in blackface, how the media treats them differently. And I'm just like, he totally glossed over the fact that he was at an Aladdin or Arabian Nights dinner or party or something, and that's where he was dressed up as brownface. Didn't mention that at all to his audience. I'm just saying, he's intellectually dishonest, and I wish people that listen to him would understand that.
Well, John, why don't you call Rush?
I probably should.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I think a lot of our listeners are beyond Rush. They might have listened to him years ago, but I think most of our listeners are beyond him. There's so much great stuff on the radio. I'm not sure why you're even listening to Rush, if I could say that, and I hope you don't take that wrong.
No, I don't take that wrong at all, Rob. Okay. I like to listen to what the other side's saying.
Well, there's a lot of good conservatives out there that you can listen to that have more credibility than Rush.
I understand that. Yeah. But a lot of the people that I've had arguments with that are on the on the conservative side, they're all Rush listeners. They're all Hannity listeners. They espouse all that stuff. And I've even heard listeners on this show do the same thing. So yeah. I'm just trying to point out to them how hypocritical these people are.
All right.
I think even if I did it to Rush show, they wouldn't believe me.
All right. Thanks. John, thanks a lot for the Rush report. David writes this: I'm very perplexed by Trump supporters' blind allegiance to Trump. I also find it interesting how conservative news and opinion outlets like One America News and Breitbart are ignoring the whistleblower controversy. Yeah, I thought that's where John was going with his comment. I do think, you know, if the president, I'm not saying this is true, but if the president promised something to Ukraine, if they came up with dirt on Joe Biden, and if that was the promise over the phone, or if the president said, if you launch an investigation into Joe Biden, I'll give you this, whatever it is, and that's one of the allegations that people are making on some of the networks this morning, that is interesting. But we don't know what the whistleblower has said. I mean, I think we need to know what the whistleblower has said. And if we live in a democracy, let's get this out in the public. Why are things so secret? Secrecy helps only the people that are covering up crimes. It doesn't help the public make up its mind. So let's get stuff into the open. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Let's go back to the phones with Bruce in Tarpon Springs. Bruce, you're on. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, Rob. Hi, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but I don't think there was ever incumbent president who was not reelected during a time of war. Makes you think a little.
Well, yeah, to that movie Wag the Dog, famously, the presidents sometimes think that going to war, whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush, helps boost their popularity. I don't know. I think the country is a bit more sophisticated than it was in 2002, 2003, where they led us into war, turned out to be a war that was a waste. And we see, and I think to his credit, we see even President Trump saying that war was a waste of human life and a waste of resources. Of course, a lot of progressives were saying that in 2002, 2003, but they weren't listened to by the rest of the public or the media. But I think the country might be more sophisticated. If the president tries to start a war now, I think the question would be, where's the proof that Iran did this? And if it is an Iranian-Saudi situation, does the U.S. need to get involved? I think those are the first two questions to ask. All right, Bruce, thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you, Rob.
All right, Bruce, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Dennis, who's in Sarasota. Hi, Dennis. You're on. Hi, Dennis.
Well, hello there, Rob. Hello, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm driving along, going to a political discussion group. But I wanted to remind all of our listeners the historical background of this Iran-Saudi business, because we have to remember that each time these issues pop up. The first thing is, it was the Saudis, who Saudi citizens, funded by Saudi money, trained in Venice to attack us on 9/11. That was strictly a Saudi Arabia operation. It was not an Iranian operation. In the middle 1950s, the CIA, at the behest of oil companies, overthrew the democratically elected president of Iran, Mossadegh, and installed a dictator. And that's how we got to having an Ayatollah. So each time one of these politicians say we got to run to the aid of Saudi Arabia, remember, they are the only ones that have ever attacked us.
That's true. That's true. Well, Dennis, thanks a lot. Two really good, important points. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right.
I want to mention a Cassandra complex about the war in Iraq, the original one. My group, Florida Veterans for Common Sense, was founded to oppose that war. And fortunately, more people are listening to us now.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Good to hear from you. And people should look up Florida Veterans for Common Sense. It's a good group. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, Rob. I try to get in as fast as I can. Rudy Giuliani last night was on the Chris Cuomo show. I don't know if you've heard.
We just played the audio twice.
Yeah, did your 28-minute exchange. And Rudy Giuliani did nothing but insult Chris Cuomo personally just would not let him talk. Would just go on and call him a sellout, calling CNN names that they're not fair, that they didn't cover the way Biden, you know, Biden out there and they didn't cover how what Biden was doing, and they never covered that, only in the Hillary Clinton thing. And Chris Cuomo was saying he got emails during that telling Don Lemon, I got emails telling me you should go right back at him, and he says I'm not going to do that. And he says he supported my father a long time ago, and besides that, I don't want to cut him off. You know, let him do that. Let him go personal, not me. You know, so it's pretty tempting when you see this guy out there. First of all, he's unhinged. And then Corey Lewandowski the other day, when his act, this circus act, was on there, and we all knew they should have been ready for that. And then they get the heavy hitter, Barry Burke, the professional interrogator, at the end when they should have put him at the beginning, and then to get him on the defensive. And the next morning, he goes on Allison Camerata. I didn't see it, but I saw it.
All right. Well, Danny, I'm sorry we're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks a lot for listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. Frank Knox has been our phone producer today. Coming up next, in the next hour, Janelle Irwin will be live taking your phone calls. And thanks to you for listening. This is WMNF.